Let's sing one song. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. Titus 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this time of fellowship. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, we open our hearts up, and we just pray that we let the Word penetrate us and that You're the teacher. It's all about You, Jesus. It's all about Your Word. Our whole lives are about You, and that because of You, we have eternal life. Because of You, we have a destination other than hell. And I thank You, Jesus, for this, and I pray that we may glorify You today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, guys. Good morning, sir. We're going to talk about hope this morning. That's the whole topic this morning is called hope. And hope is it's a very interesting word. It's used in the Bible about 130, 140 times. Interesting, and we'll talk about it. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the word hope's only used twice. So very, very interesting. We're going to focus on Paul's books, Romans through Philemon, and what the word hope means. And in our lives, everybody has hope, whether you're a Christian, a non-Christian, whether you're an agnostic, no matter what religion you're in, somebody has hope in something. You can have hope in nothing, but you have to have hope in something. So to start off, we want to define the word hope. And I'm hoping my English major teacher over there tells me I did this right. So we're going to define the word hope, and we're going to talk about what it means when it's a verb. The verb definition is to place confidence in. And if you can't read my writing, I'm sorry. And if my spelling's off, I'm sorry. To place confidence or to trust or to have earnest expectation. Okay, now that's the verb form of the word hope. Okay, and I kind of narrowed it down. The noun definition of hope is someone or something that gives you hope. And it's actually called hope itself. And in the Scripture, it will refer to God as hope Himself. So there's a verb and there's a noun definition of this. I'll put the word noun up here. Yes, exactly, Rich. When it's used, and it's used both ways in the Scriptures in there. So, and it's used both ways when we interpret it for having hope in something else. Now, The whole big thing we're going to talk about today is there's two things to have hope in and two sources that it comes from. One source is mankind and the other source is God. Now that's huge to know where those two things come from because everything comes from either one of those two things. In fact, there is a third thing on there, but that kind of goes over here. I didn't want to write it, but it's Satan. But anyway, mankind and God is basically how we'll divide the categories. So we're going to go over the references in hope, several of them, in Paul's epistles. We started off with Titus, which we're going to end with. So we're going to go over that verse at the end. I just wanted to start with it. So turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And hope is mentioned in Paul's epistles 36 times. Okay? And hope in the Bible is not always from God's source. There was hope that Herod had. In fact, the two times mentioned hope in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are in Luke. One of them was Herod had hope in something. Okay, so it was mankind. It was hope that he had in something he was doing. So not all the time in the Bible, just most of the time in the Bible, the hope comes from this source, comes from God. Okay, so turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans 5, 2. Romans 5, 2. Okay, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So what do we rejoice in? Hope. Our expectation and trust in the glory of God. So So that's where we put the hope. That was verse 9. Is this verse talking about a believer or an unbeliever? A believer. Okay. So make that discrepancy when you talk to people. What are they putting their hope in? We had a great Bible study last night, and we're talking about preaching the gospel. We're talking about hell and where people are going. People got to realize where they're going and where their hope is, okay, and where that hope's going to take them and lead them. So this verse, wonderful verse, that's where the hope is placed. Let's jump down a couple verses to Romans. Yes, sir. The right side, yeah, and I'm going to list these. Yeah, let's do it right now. Hope is in what right there? The expectation of what in that verse? Okay, so expectation of the glory. Of glory. So that would go over there. Okay, let's go to a couple verses down. Romans chapter 5, same verse. Let's go to 4 and 5. Hope's mentioned twice here. And patience and experience. Let's go back to verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That's a tough verse. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience and experience, and experience hope. And where does it end up with? Hope. And on there, and hope maketh us not ashamed. So what's that hope in that verse that we're talking about? The hope, the expectation of the glory of God. All right? I don't know if you guys know about it, but bragging's okay in the Bible. You say, well, what are you talking about, bragging's okay? Where and when is it okay to brag? We're boasting about Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Does anybody know what verse that is? Galatians 6:14. Let's turn to that verse real quick. Galatians 6:14. So I know as men, we got an awful lot of pride. We brag about our teams. We brag about this. We brag about that. And all that is for dung, according to the Scripture. But when you brag about this, it really means something. And this is a verse that you want to keep about. And you know what? Brag about this verse all the time. Brag about it all the time. Galatians 6:14. I'm going to have one of the young ladies. Sarah, can you read Galatians 6:14 for us? So what's it telling you? It's telling you can brag about the cross work of Christ. God forbid anything that I should glory, save in what? The cross of Christ. You guys want to brag all day long about Jesus Christ. Right? And that's what you want to do. So bragging is okay. It's just you got to make sure it's about who it's about. And you notice we took us out of the picture. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be proud of your wives and your families. That's great. But you should be proud of them that they're in Christ. Because that's what counts. That's what changes human beings. Jesus changes people. Changes your destiny, changes who you are. It can change how you think about things. So be proud of your family. You got family that's unsaved, you should be concerned about them. You should be tormented about them, where they're going. That should bother you. Because you want them, everybody you see. What's God's will for? We studied last night. What's God's will? For all men to be saved. Tell the truth. So we should be excited about that. Every man, including people we don't like and people that we do like. All right? So let's turn back to Romans again. Let's get back on that hope. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. Remember that. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Verse 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience and wait for it. So, it's amazing how God uses the word hope, that He only uses it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John twice, and it really didn't have anything coming from God. Because guess where their hope was? Standing right in front of them. He didn't use the word hope in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because the hope was right there. Why does He use the word hope before that and after that? Because Jesus wasn't there. So it's amazing how God uses these words, and you look at it, you go, well, He only used it a couple times here, but you see it in the Old Testament and you see it 11 times in Hebrews through Revelation. Because that's hope that is not seen. So our hope, and people think we're crazy believing in this, but our hope is something that we can't see. And that's what that verse talks about. That's a huge verse because I don't have a problem with it. You don't have a problem, but a lot of people have a problem. We've got to be able to see something. How many times we talked about last time, how many times do you have people, well, Jesus stood right in front of me, I believe him. Right? For we are saved by hope. Yes, well, it's talking about it carries us along. Not salvation so much that it keeps us going. It's just like you use the word that we work out our salvation. It doesn't mean that we have to work on salvation, we already have it. So you're correct. The word saved doesn't always mean in the Bible saved from hell on there. So the bottom line is that the hope that we have is the hope that we have that's not seen. It's the hope that's in Scripture. Let's jump to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Let's write one qualification that's like Tom said. It's not seen. Our hope is not seen. Okay, and I'm going to write over here seen, and in a few minutes I'm going to have you guys give me examples for stuff as human beings that we put hope in, even as Christians that we put hope in. Okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. 15, verse 4. For whatever was ever so things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So, do we use all the Bible here? Yes. All the Bible is what? For us, but it's not all or about us. You young people out there, and by the way, you're doing a great job. All the young people in our church are awesome. We need to encourage the young men and women in here, the young boys and girls. We are so proud of them. You guys are the next generation. Okay? Now, I'm putting a little bit of my hope, a lot of my hope into you guys, but I'm hoping, because you're Christians, I'm hoping in God that He works through you to do that. But you're the next generation, and you got a bigger challenge than we did, and you need to put all your hope into God. Okay? All your hope in Him. Nothing else. All right? So in this verse, in Romans 15, verse 4, where am I? 15. Yeah, verse 4. There was hope in the Scriptures. A lot of people read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, and see the wrath of God, and they see all the negative things that God has done. And the bottom line is, He always left us hope. He always gave that door. He always gave that opportunity for people to have a chance. That's because He's a loving God. I don't know about you guys, but I would have given up on us. I mean, it's just bad. But God, throughout history, has always given us a chance. And it's amazing in the time we live right now that we have a chance, and it's free. It's totally free. Our hope is free. So we need to understand what that is. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 7. Chapter 13, verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You notice something about these Scriptures and a lot of the hope verse that you talked about, tribulation and patience, it's related to hope. It's like, why can't I just skip those and just get to that part? Well, the reason is because we're living here and we have to live in this world that's Satan's world. We have to live this. We have to be ambassadors. We have to go through this time and period. So God wants us to understand, hey guys, it's okay. For the little time you're here, the patience of the tribulation worketh hope. Because I don't want you to focus on the patience, the tribulations and the problems. I want you to focus on the hope that you have in me. Because that will drive you towards the hope. Because I don't know about you guys, but on a daily basis, sometimes you get at wit's end or week's end about, you know, you're fighting with your family or something happened at work and you're doing it. God, I don't want to do this anymore. You know what? That's a great point to be. Because guess what you just did? You gave up on yourself. And you put your hope in Him. He said, Lord, carry me. Take me. Remember, Paul says, when I am weak, He is strong. So we need to learn as a family, as a body of believers, to put hope in Him and understand. It doesn't stop. I know when I go to work, sometimes I go, hey, I'm going to get Him today. There's nothing wrong with that, but I need to start off with, Lord, I'm going to go to work because the Scripture says I should work for my family. That's how it should start. Out of an obedience that's what God wants me to do. Then after that, I go, hey, in God's name, let's go get Him, because it's about Him. The other way, it becomes about me. And that's where we want to take it off of. It's what we can do to depend on Christ. He's our strength. He's our life. He's our hope. And that's what we need to depend on. And a lot of people make fun of us. They go, God, you Christians, you're depending on this shot in the dark. Well, we're going to talk about how much of a shot in the dark it is. Let's jump over real quick to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Verse 5. Galatians 5, 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For the hope of righteousness. What is our hope of righteousness? What is it? Christ. So, God, when you have faith, it's to place confidence in someone or something. We place confidence in Jesus Christ. Who do you think God places confidence in? Who do you think Jesus places confidence in? God. Who do you think the Holy Spirit places confidence in? Jesus and God. The three of them equally place confidence in all of each other. They depend on each other. They'll never let each other down. All right? So they put that confidence, that hope in there. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This verse is pretty depressing. Thank God we read this verse most of the time after we're saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Amanda, why don't you read that verse for us? Okay, so what does it say there? No hope. That verse is frightening. Yeah, exact. Amen. Verb and noun. There's nothing. You have nothing in that verse. Okay? The only way you were going to be saved at that time was to go over and bless and go over and be a partaker of the Jewish faith, of their God who is the Messiah. Because God said, I gave up on you guys. You read Romans 1. He gave up on the Gentiles real quick. Okay? Not quick enough, but real quick. He gave up on them. And he gave up on the Jews in Romans 2. And then he tells us in Romans 3 that none of you are good enough. Okay? But God did not give up hope on his plan. He did not give up hope on Jesus Christ. In fact, when you hear the word hope in the circles around us, we'll start making that list. What do you guys have hope in? Let's not talk about the source being God. Let's talk about the source of mankind. We got what coming up in 9 days? So we have hope in this election, right? We put hope in this election. So we got hope in that. What are other things that we put hope in?
Education.
Education. People. Sills right. People. Money. Yeah, the Yankees. See, look at where that got me. People. We put it in money. Here's a big one. We put hope in ourselves. Our hope in ourselves. Freedom. Drugs. What about you guys love vacation? Everybody here love vacation? So we put hope that we're going on vacation this year and where we're going, right? Vacations, events. Lottery. Now, 4 years ago, a lot of people put this in a little saying called hope and change. Yeah. Yeah. No, and I'm not trying to be facetious about that, but all I'm saying is that, in essence, you know, you when you get up to drive your car this morning, did you hope it would start? Yes. You hoped it would start. Is it a bad thing to want it to start? No. But all the energy that you guys place, and I place myself, I was like, God, I put too much hope into all this stuff. That's right. That's right. I'll tell you what. As a husband, I've let my wife down. I've let my kids down. So I know that I'm fall short of the glory of God. Education is getting worse. You know, that lets you down. You think that's the end all be all. The election. Even if our guy gets in or our guy doesn't get in, hope can't be in him. Money, oh my God, our money's going to be worth nothing pretty soon. So it doesn't matter. Ourselves. This is the one, I don't know about you guys, that catches me the most. And there's a difference between going and preparing yourself and having wisdom and doing a good job. God gives you that wisdom and tells you to be wise. You know, Sarah does a piano recital. You guys do volleyball. You practice real hard to get to that point. You prepare yourself. You go, I'm ready. But as far as we talk about hope, there's a way to talk about hope. There's, hey, I hope I win. There's nothing wrong with wanting to win the game. There's nothing wrong with rooting for your team. But what it does to you is this. When you put your hope in this, don't you tend to self, you go like this in life. You go like this. I'll tell you what, there's times in my life where things went exactly the way I planned and I get there and I'm let down. I'm all, well, we did it, but it didn't feel like I thought it would feel. It didn't seem like I thought it would be. Because we're placing too much of that hope into that, and we're placing too much emphasis on there. And you say, Bear, well, you're talking about people. You're talking about, well, what happened with relationships? What happened with the family or marriage? Don't put hope in your marriage. No. You want to have a great marriage in your life? You want to have a great family? Put all your hope in the God. Husband and wife, but yes. Yes. Looks? Oh, that's a great one, Ken. And fame. Let's talk about those two before I continue on about the relationship. The looks and the fame. It's funny because you can look around you and we have beautiful young people. We have beautiful young people. We have some, especially women, some beautiful older people, and then we got some really bad looking guys. Okay? Yeah, you know what? And that Tom, but thank God we got to get older to realize that. Our body's falling apart, and you know what? The looks, the abilities. You know, you go on a spike. I play basketball with my guys, and I go, oh my God, I used to be able to. I'm still trying to do the things I did 20 years ago. Yeah. Can't happen. Yeah, it's the only thing that counts because everything else. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell the young people anybody if you need to gain 1,000 pounds or you need to eat bad or you need to do. I'm not saying that. You need to take care of yourself. But I'm saying to you, as far as your looks, it's all going to go. It's all going to go. Thank God we get new bodies. So. Little. Amen.
And if you work out a little bit, get a little stronger than God, you can make everything better.
And you're constantly going to grow in God. You can only get, your looks and your body can only go so far. You're limited. But with God, you can do, as far as your learning capability, it's infinite because you're going to continue to learn all this in heaven. So, again, back to relationships. You want to have a great relationship with your kids, with your husband, with your wife. It takes two people putting the hope in what God does. But you, as a person by yourself, how many people can you change? One. The only person you can change in this room is yourself. So stop trying to change somebody else. You can be an influence and you can do it, but the only person that you can change is yourself. And how do you change? It ain't by your own strength. It's renewing the mind and focus on the hope that God gives. It's focus on His Word. It's focus on what He's given you. And rest. I had somebody tell me very close to me, who I'm struggling with in my family, tell me, hey, you know, I'm 67 years old and nobody changes. They act like it outwardly. And when they go home, they act the same way. And I told this person, I said, hey, listen to me. I've seen people at church change, older and new. I've seen God change me. I've seen God change my wife and my kids. So that's not true. Okay? How many people you know get saved? Some people get saved 70, 80 years old. Their whole perspective changes. So the whole point is that it's who and what you put your hope in. And again, I'm not trying to discourage you, especially young people. Go for the sky. What you want to do is go for the sky. But you know what? Focus on this. Because you know what? Ken brought up a great point, the fame. You know, sometimes people, you could have your family, you could be single, and you live a life, and the few people around you, you influence. You know, when you stand in front of that judgment seat of Christ, He's not going to go, well, Rich, Barry, you met thousands of people. You know what He's going to do? What the people that you were hanging around and who you were made a difference, that's what counts. Everybody counts. Everybody counts. God doesn't say, well, you're not famous and you couldn't do this. In fact, most of the time what happens with fame is, how many Christian brothers and sisters do you see famous? You could probably name them two hands that are really famous, movie stars or athletes. And how many Christians and brothers and sisters are in this message famous? I can't name one right now. I've looked at and done that. So the bottom line is that, and where do people look for their hope? They look for to be famous and the famous people. Just because Oprah is voting for this guy, that means I should? Well, who is Oprah? You know what's sad about Oprah? She doesn't believe in the God of the Bible. You should feel sorry for her. All the millions she has, all the people she talks to, she thinks that God is good. I mean, the definition of good is God. She doesn't believe that Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again and have faith in the blood. Feel sorry for those people, but yet, the influence that she has in a negative fashion is incredible. You, one person in your life, you may never be famous, but God doesn't care about that. God doesn't care about any of that. Paul talks about the eunuch. You talk about Titus. A lot of these guys are low-key guys. They don't have the huge influence that you think, but they made the greatest influence. And there's some guys in the Bible, when God came to Moses, he wasn't real happy that he picked him, that he wanted to do this. In fact, Paul, you know, I don't know if he wanted all this when you read about it. Oh, you know. So the bottom line is it doesn't matter. It matters what you can do in your life. Make a difference in your life with your family, with your friends, for who you are in Christ. Share with them that hope. Share with them that hope. Let's go to Ephesians. Are we in Ephesians right now? Oh yeah. Let's go to next verse is Ephesians 4:4. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling. How many ways to heaven, guys? How many?
One.
Are we sure about that? That's what the verse says. We call Ephesians the one chapter. If you ever want to, all these people say there's 5,000 ways to God, just have them read Ephesians. It's done. Ephesians says it's one. And one hope. And we didn't make those rules. And again, let the Word of God be. When people ask you questions about Scripture, even if they're saved or unsaved, let the Scripture stand up for you. Let them either put faith in the Scripture or deny the Scripture. But let a person stand. What does Paul say in your mind? Be persuaded in your own mind. You can't change anybody, and you can't make anybody believe. Believe me, I know we'd love to tie people down, whip them. Even that are saved, that can't get this message about dividing the Bible. You're like, guys, you're struggling in your life. Another big thing we didn't put down here. We have hope in doctors or health. Doctors and health. And I know all of us, I know personally what I went through 4 years ago. You're given 7 months to live and doing that. It's like, I got a choice. Am I going to say, well, am I going to worry about if I'm going to get better? Or am I going to think, no matter what, my family and I are going to spend eternity? Romans 8:20, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8:18, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Did the doctors fix me? Yes. But you know what strength it was? Oh, Ken's all, yeah, maybe not. They should have done a little more of that. Right? Plastic surgery and all that. Anyway, the bottom line is that you've got to put your hope in the God. You know the strength that you have when it's His strength? You'll get through things. We'll get through things in our life. It'd be good. And you bury, you say you get through things. What happens if you died? I got through it. I'm in heaven. I got through it. And my family will join me sometime. All right? Think about this. You ever think about this? Once you are saved, you'll never see death. Think about what that means. I lose my breath, my brain, just heart stops this second. You guys will see the body fall and everything, and I'm not trying to be descriptive, but I'm already in heaven. You'll never see death. You'll never taste death. That's right, because we were buried, died, and rose again with Christ the minute that we believe in the blood. All that happened. So, you guys will never taste death. So, your friends say, how long are you going to live? Forever! Tell them that. They think you're a little crazy, but the verse says forever. You're going to live forever. Now, when you're young, you go, well, you know, I kind of hope God makes the body the same way. It looks kind of nice, and I like it. But I promise you, your celestial body, even as good-looking as most of you are, you'll have a better body in heaven. I promise you that. Maybe not Ken. Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Let's put religion. Let's classify all that under religion. That's, you guys are awesome. Religion. I came from two religions. I went from one religion, got saved, went to another religion called the Christian religion. And I wasn't saved in the other religion, and then you jump over here. What's the problem with that religion? It's man. And the source is mankind. The source is mankind. And the bottom line is, it may feel good. It may even appear good. You may even go home and say, hey, I gave all this money. Hey, I helped patting yourself on the back. By the way, that counts nothing. You know, when the left hand and the right hand, the Bible talks about, when you're patting yourself on the back, you just got your reward. So I hope you're happy with that. And you know, that's the way it is. But our reward is in heaven. All right? And this one right here, and who's behind that one? We got to put this Satan. That's right. And what did he try to use? The Word of God against him. He tried to use the words. Satan's a lot smarter than you guys think. He's just not the smartest guy. But he's a lot smarter than... Don't underestimate Satan. Satan knows that he can't touch this hope. Once you're saved, he can't touch this hope. But what he can do to it, what did he do to the Colossians? He's distorting it. They were confusing him. Where am I going? What did he do to the Thessalonians? What about the rapture? Timothy. Everybody left in Asia. Everybody's gone. But he can't do anything about it. So what is he going to do? He's going to make your life a mess and try to get you to focus on this. And the people who are not saved, he's already got them suckered in all this already. He's happy. I got all these people over here. I think Satan thinks he's going to win by numbers. Really? We talked about last night, we went over hell. We did about 10 verses. What do we learn about hell? How big is hell? It's never full. Katie, the verse in Deuteronomy says it's never full. So that means God, oh God, he's such a bad... No, he's not. God made hell because he's a just God. And he said, I'm giving you the choice, guys. Hey, you can have something free, or you can go where you're going anyway. I want you to. I sent my son because I don't want you to go to hell. God does not want people to go to hell. But on the backside, he has to be just. He has to be just. And he can't let this person get in just because, I'm going to let... Because God doesn't work that way. You ever notice in the Bible, as life goes on, it gets more and more gray. Gray, the color gray. Gray. God is black and white. Don't you hate it when people tell you, well, you don't show compassion, Barry. You don't do this. You're black and white. You know, like you think about it, you go, well, sometimes that's true in a bad way, but the Bible is your comfort and your God. You know what people want to be comforted? They want to be comforted in their way. Well, as Christians, especially as Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, the Word of God is supposed to comfort you. So when somebody's down, read them Romans 8:18. Read them about their eternal life. Read about don't be entangled with these affairs. I come home from work and I laugh about it, but still tell me, don't be entangled with the affairs of this world. She's right. Because that will get you consumed up, because that's going to bring you down. You got to go through them, and you go through them, and God shows you how to act and through those situations. All right? Let's keep going here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation, that's what we wrote up here, earnest expectation, and my hope, which is my earnest expectation, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall magnify my body, whether it be by life or by death. So interesting in that verse, we talked about bragging. What goes along with bragging about Jesus Christ in that verse? Being what? Bold. Being bold. Now, some of us are more quiet than others. I know that, you know, some people are there, but you know what? That's okay. But when words come out and do that, be bold about the gospel. Share with people. Be excited about it. Because the bottom line is, they may only hear it from you. And I see too many of us, and I'll raise my hand. You know, I'm at the gas station, guys, and hey, how you doing? It's like, well, why didn't I say something? What does it hurt to say anything? I mean, what does it hurt? That I'm going to be ashamed? He says, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Are we willing to stand on an island by ourselves with nobody? Because God's saying, if you got me, everybody else doesn't count anyway. To say that, some of us, thank God, most of us are all our families, immediate families believe. Thank God for that. But if they don't, you still have to stand in the Word. Because people are going to see that consistently. A lot of times, and there is more, this is a sad fact, there is more women of faith than men. This is sad. And that's where a lot of the family has gone down, because men aren't being the men. And the bottom line is that people will listen, especially when they get down. What do you got to lose? Say, hey, you know, Jesus Christ, He can help you. They may not want to hear it, but you know what's there. And then we're talking about last night when somebody says, hey, I think this is really good. When somebody opens the door, and I don't mean God opening doors. I'm talking about somebody gives you an opportunity and they start talking about something, step in there. My boss was talking about God is good. He was saying that God is good. I said, well, all right, Elliot. And he goes, we all have goodness in us. I said, really? I said, and he goes to a church, I forget what denomination, and they read one page and they go to mostly stories. And I said, why don't you read Romans 3, 10 through 25? The first verse says, none righteous, no, not one. And he comes back the next day and he goes, we're not all good. Now, he didn't get saved because he didn't talk. But the point is, and it wasn't my wisdom. I'm not sitting and explaining this to people. That's why I tell you guys, memorizing is wonderful in your Bible, but it's more important that you know your Bible. Have your Bible, understand it. Where to take somebody to preach the gospel. Where to take somebody to the one chapter. Just get to the chapter. Let God do the work. It's not you saving them anyway. But show them what that hope is. Explain to them what that hope that they can have. Because they're going to put it in something, guys. Everybody's born. When you're a kid, you go, oh man, I hope for my birthday I get all these toys. Yeah, you put your hope in something at all times in your life. Sometimes people say, I got hope in nothing at all. You just put your hope in something. You put your hope in nothing. But you got hope in something. Somebody who says they have no hope is put it in that they have no hope. What did the verse say back in Ephesians that said we had no hope? We had hope in something. Nothing. We were without God. We had hope in absolutely nothing. So when you're talking to people every day, this hope happens. And like I said before, when you put your hope, too much hope in all this stuff, this is what you get. Guess when you put your hope in God? You're riding like this. You're riding like this. Let your moderation be known. That's your moderation. Now for some of us, that's a higher gear, but it's the same gear. I don't care if you're in first or fifth. You're in that even gear knowing that, hey, He's my hope. He's my hope. Let's jump over to Colossians. Go ahead. She's got the end of the sermon right there. You did wonderful. You hit right. That's what we're going to right at the end. And you are, Katie, that's about what it's all thing. It's going there. We'll get there in about 5 minutes. We'll get there. All right. But that's a great. That's where we're going with that. Colossians chapter one, verse 5. Colossians 1:5. It says, Jenny, you want to read that verse? Okay, so first of all, for the hope, where's that hope at? In heaven. And what was Satan attacking on these guys, where they were going to go? He wasn't attacking their salvation. It's very important. He wasn't attacking that they were saved. He was attacking, where are you going to go? What has this God done for you? That's basically what he's telling the Colossians. They were mature guys, but Satan was attacking, hey, where are you going to go? He was attacking their hope. Now, they knew Satan knew he was saved, so he says, I lost that battle, but I'm going to attack it. So, and imagine if somebody's crippled. Imagine it's like putting tape over your mouth. I know sometimes that might be good, but it's putting tape over your mouth and saying, go share the gospel. That's what Satan wants to do to us. Satan wants to not have us speak and share with people. He does not want that to happen because he's in danger. Because once we go to here, he can't ever... We're separated from Him just like we're separated from hell. That's what happens when we have the hope in this. And that's when we're a part of this team. You know, and life is a team. Like Katie was saying, life is a team. There is God versus Satan. It's good versus evil. This is true. This is what it's about. But the guy who made everything is God, Jesus Christ. He made everything. He planned everything. And He knew that all this would happen. Satan got everything in heaven. Satan was one of His most prized possessions. And he dropped. And how stupid were these angels? A third of them dropped with him. I mean, that's crazy. But you say how crazy it was when Jesus walked the earth? What percentage of people believed? On all the earth, less than 1% of the people believed that He was the Messiah. That's crazy. And He's standing right in front of you. Man is coming out. He's feeding them fish. He's healing people. None of this has ever been done in the history of mankind. Over half your prophecies of your Bible are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, the fulfillment of those prophecies. But Jesus is like, hey, this was written 4,000 years ago and I'm doing it. That's who I am. And Jesus depended on God the Father and His Word to be where He was supposed to be and do what He was supposed to do because He did not have sin. He was God Himself in the form of man doing that. So he knew. And he said, guys, it's about me. The reason why they don't use the word hope much in those four books is because he's standing right in front of you. The reason why he uses hopes in the other books is because it's a hope that is not seen. That's why you do it. A lot of times this hope, the election, we see it and we see the results and all that stuff. But we don't know what's going to happen. Like you're unsure. You know, we go on a job interview. We do these things. We hope. I hope I make more money next year. Rich hopes that he doesn't have a bunch of hoodlums as kids. We hope. You know what I'm saying? We hope. Okay? I know as a family, we hope to do things together. We hope to do that. I know as a church, we hope to become closer together, encourage one another, grow. I hope for all the families, the marriages and everything. You know what, guys? Our families, we have the best shot of having the best marriages and the best families and the best of everything because we have this. We got it all. It's like, you know, Tom's contract doing a job and you give him four tools and he needs 10. He's like, I can't finish the job. God gave us everything at once. Said, it's yours, Tom. It's Barry's. What are we doing with that? Are we sitting on it? Are we resting in that hope? Are we dependent on that hope? That's what we need to do. Let's jump over to Colossians. We're in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 27. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We got the hope living in us. How exciting is that? How exciting is that? It's right there. Wherever you go, He's with you. Now that can be good and bad. You're going someplace that you probably shouldn't go, He's still with you. You know why? Because He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Anybody who ever teaches that you can lose your salvation, that's blasphemy. Do not believe that. Stay away from that doctrine. It comes out of somebody's mouth. They're a false teacher. Stay away from that doctrine. I've seen more Christian lives get destroyed because of the issue of salvation and crippled that I know are saved. I'm one of them. A month after I was saved, and I'll pick on this guy, I'm not ashamed of it, a guy named Raul Reese, Calvary Chapel. I was listening to a tape. And he said this orthodontist got saved. And 5 years later, he committed adultery on his wife. And then he said, if he dies right there, he's going to hell. How dare him say that? And I know exactly which scriptures he's using. I still think I have the tape at home. And he goes to verses in Ezekiel. He goes to Galatians. And he twists the scripture. How dare he do that? He is a false teacher. Do not listen to the man. Do not listen to anything he's about. Anybody who teaches you can lose salvation, it's blasphemy. It is totally destroying your walk in life. Yes?
Sometimes Christians use that as if they created it themselves to cause fear in somebody else. And me and Jane were talking this morning saying, well, hell wasn't even created for us. Heaven was created for us.
Amen.
We need to have our focus
Amen.
On what's above. You know?
That's right. And does God want people to go to hell? No. All men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But He's going, guys, you have a choice. And I thank God for all of you in this room and all the ministry. We're saved. God, we're on the right side. Yes. Oh, I got a few minutes there. That's my signal there. Well, if the Yankees were in the World Series, I was going to change my sermon to say that the Yankees were God's team. But that didn't happen. Okay. I didn't think that would go over too well. Anyway, we're closing up here. Let's go through a couple more verses. Let's go to Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. And I love how he starts the chapter with our hope. He goes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. That is everything that we have. We're not going to have anything more, and we don't need anything more, because when you have everything, that leaves nothing else. There's nothing else left. That's everything. All right? We're going to end it today with a verse that we started with Titus. Chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. There's 36 verses in Paul that talk about hope. The reason why that I picked this one was because, you know, God's often called a God that can do anything. And can God do anything? No. God's often called a God that is cruel, and He executes His wrath upon people, and He does that, and He's not just, and that He changes His mind. And that's not true. The reason why I wanted to end on this verse is because of this. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie. Everybody, this verse is so huge because it tells you that God is limited by His own word and that He'll never lie to you. Okay? And I know on purpose, as parents, and I know some things, and even as kids, sometimes you go, "Oh, I told a white lie, I didn't mean to say that." A lie is a lie, guys. It's just what it is. We've all lied, and we're going to lie. I'm not encouraging you to lie, you shouldn't, but we're going to do it. And we're going to make promises. And I think Ken is the biggest, loves this verse the most, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. And it's true. And you know what? Your yea can be right. As Katie was saying, 99% of the time your yea can be right, but you're going to screw it up. I promise you're going to screw it up. Sometimes it happens real quick that we say something. It's hard to keep track of everything you say. That's why don't give promises you can't keep, and don't say those things unless you know that you're going to do those things. But stuff happens where that yea turns into that. Circumstance happens, and you can't do it. That's why what Katie brought up, the great point at the end here. All these things. First of all, what's the odds of all... Let's say that we have a guy we pick for election. Let's say we get a good education. Let's say that the people around us say yay most of the time. There's a percentage of this that's going to happen. You're going to put your hope in something and it may happen. It may. It may happen a lot of the times. But the bottom line is that the hope in these things is less than 100%. So less than 100% that this is going to happen. Now we're not talking about eternity now. I'm talking about... I put greater. Sorry, Rich. I know he looked at me at the math. It's less than. I just got a look from him, but I knew it. I did it wrong. So that's a teacher for you. See, a teacher didn't have to say anything. He's teaching stuff, all right? So less than 100% chance that all this is going to come true. Now here's the big question. What part of this is the chances that it's going to come true? 100%. And the second part of the big question, what percentage of this is going to get you to eternal life? Zero. Nothing. God is a God of His Word for whatever He's hoped, given hope for. He is our hope. The definition of hope, He created. It's Him. Hope is someone or something. Hope is Jesus Christ. And we should have confidence and earnest expectation. That's eagerly expecting everything that He said will come true. It's a fact. You know, God is the God of science. The only thing He doesn't do is He doesn't deal in this thing called theory. He just skips right to the facts. Everything that God did is a fact. There's no theory about it. You do it for so long, and then after a while it becomes a fact. There's no theory about God. He's a God of fact. So the bottom line is this. Religion will never teach you. You'll never have the confidence. You, when you're at home and when you're sharing with people and your beliefs, you need to hold this Bible up and tell people out of love, because you love them and you want the same for them, there's 100% chance I'm going to heaven. It's a fact. You speak with that kind of confidence, people are going to go, wow. Because religion won't teach you that. And I was in religion and I could never say that. Stand. Be bold. Be firm. And you know what? Guess what? It's your sword. You're putting it in front of you. According to this, King James Bible in the English language, put all your faith and your hope. We're just going to talk about faith next year. All your faith and your hope in this, because it'll never let you down. And there's a fact that you're going to go to heaven. Live off that fact. And that you talk about getting the goosebumps and being higher in life. That's how you should live, because you're going to spend eternity with them. It's a fact. There's no question about it. And in your life, about expectations, expect nothing from anybody around you, but expect everything from Jesus Christ. If you live your life like that, you'll never be let down. People let you down. I've let people down. It's horrible. Things will let you down. Eventually, this election could let us all down. Either way, even if the guy we want gets in and it doesn't go the way we think, he's going to let us down in some fashion. In your marriages, in your home, expect everything from Jesus. With your kids, expect everything from Jesus, not your kids. Not your husband or wife. And you watch relationships grow. Relationships take two people. So I'm not saying if one person has this hope and the other person doesn't, it's going to be wonderful. But I'll tell you what, no matter what happens, that one person who is living on the hope will be comforted, will get through it a lot easier than the other person that doesn't have that hope. But if both people have that hope in that marriage, if both people, as far as kids and dad, mom and dads, have that, you're going to have the greatest marriage and the greatest relationship with your family. It's a fact, because God is a God of success. He's 100% successful. He's never lost a game. He's never lost a point. Nothing. Everything He deals in is facts, and everything He deals in is reality. So live your life that way. Live your life. Brag about the cross of Christ. Be bold. And put all your hope, your real hope, into Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll start back up at 11.